Andy Miller is going to come up and talk in just a second. When I moved to Murfreesboro from North Carolina in 2003, I just wanted God to use me in the life of some college students. And so I started praying to that end. And so we started kind of our campus work in the fall of 2005. And so Mark Stevens and I, just went over on campus and started moving people in. Now, Mark had known Andy's dad from years past. And so I think they had been tying in back and forth on the phone because Andy was going to come to MTSU to study videography or digital media, somewhere along in that, because he really enjoyed video editing. So we moved him in, and one thing led to another, and we started meeting. So Andy, along with John Mark and Philip, some other guys, are kind of the answers to the prayers that we had asked God for, about using, just wanting God to use me in the life of another person, another guy. And so we'd ask Andy to come and share some things with you that he's been going through over his course of time with the Lord. And really what it focuses on is a lot of the things that what we just sang about these ancient words. Because I picked that song for a reason. It says, "Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. We'll let the ancient words impart." There's no doubt that we all value God's word, I think. But then how do we use it? How do we view it? And then how do we then structure our lives using it? Okay, so you know David yesterday morning and this morning, gave examples about the way, okay, so there was the way of the world and then God's economy. And if he had had those scriptures, he said, well, what if I had known this? Well, what I want you to hear this afternoon is a guy who I believe has gone to God's word for those kinds of decisions. So whenever he would come to a crossroads or he'd need to make a decision about something, he would go to God's word and let it direct him. So that's what I want everyone to hear. So Andy, why don't you come on up? And I'll pray and I'll let him go.
Lord, thank you for Andy.
Lord, I pray that you just really speak through him, through your word and what you've done in your life, Lord. You've allowed me to be involved in his life all these years. And Lord, I know that he's looked to you. So Lord, I pray that you would speak as you have guided. And may we have ears to hear and be attentive to what you'd have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Shane. Well, initially when Shannon and Mark asked me to speak, my first reaction was, why me? Why me of all people? I mean, I'm 23 years old. No offense, but I'm probably the age of some of your children here. But actually, I didn't even plan on coming on this. Last October, we went on the fall conference with the ministry. And on the way down there, me and a guy named Mike were sharing each other's testimonies. And part of Mike's story was he ran a half marathon because he was a little overweight. And he just wanted to show people, you know, when he set his mind to something, he could do it. And he mentioned it to me, and I've never trained for anything. I didn't play any sports in high school, but I thought, okay, like, not only will this be really, really cool challenge, but it'd be great for my relationship with him that we could spend all this time together. So we started training for that, and it just so happens it was the same weekend as this. And initially, Shannon and/or Mark brought it up and said, you know, you really should go on this retreat. It's really good. And I just thought, you know, not that I didn't want to come, but I just feel like I do everything we do. And like, can I have a little slack? Can I have a little freedom to say no every once in a while? And while I'm brewing on that, one morning in my quiet time, I'm going over some old scripture memory verses. And I was going over 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. And it says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value in all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." And I just started laughing. I'm sure somebody in the Stevens house thought something strange was going on upstairs, because I just started laughing out loud, because I did not think God could have been any clearer. "I don't want you to do this. Go to the men's retreat." So I'm very excited to tell you my story today. And I hope to just show you what God's Word can do in your life, especially with making decisions and with trusting God. So it all starts. I accepted Christ at a young age, but I didn't really start walking with Him until I got to college. And actually, the first night I got to MTSU, my dad drops me off, and I forgot where he went, but I was the only one there. My roommate wasn't there yet. And I don't know what it was, if I had some bad food or something, but I just started throwing up. And I threw up every 30 minutes for, like, I don't know, 12 hours. I mean, I was pale, I was hurting. And the next day, I was supposed to go to church with the Stevens, and Joe Mark was going to swing by and pick me up, who had only met once before. So I get a knock on my door Sunday morning, and I kind of struggle to the door and feeling terrible, and I open it, and Joe Mark's standing there with a big smile on his face. He's like, "Hey, you ready to go to church?" And I'm like, "Oh, man, I don't feel good. I'm not going to be able to make it." And I remember Joe Mark's face like it was yesterday. He just kind of stopped. He's smiling, and then he realized I was serious, and his face just kind of dropped. He was like, "Oh, okay." Well, I found out a year later, when we started becoming friends, that he thought I was hungover from partying and thought, "Wow, this guy on his first night at college has gone off the deep end and given up on everything he said he's going to do." So I started there, and from the start, I didn't really make that many friends. I mean, the first semester away from home, or first time you ever really go away from home, it's a big adjustment. And just right from the start, I just wasn't making many friends. I was feeling lonely. MTSU is very much a suitcase campus, and everybody goes home on the weekends. So as the semester progressed, I realized that Memphis actually had a better film program. And I started looking into it, and one of my buddies called me and was like, "Hey, we're going to get a house. I know you're thinking about coming back. You know, why don't you come back home?" And I started thinking about it. You know, I've been going back home every 2 weeks anyway. I got friends there. I've got a church. Now the program might be better. And at this point, Shannon and I had been meeting. And one day I just mentioned it in passing. I'm thinking about transferring back to Memphis. And I could see it on Shannon's face. It was like a red flag went off. And he was like, "Really?" So we started talking about it. And immediately I just didn't trust him. I just thought, man, this guy just wants me here for his ministry. You know, he's starting this new thing, and he's just sad because he's going to be losing numbers. He doesn't care how I feel. And he actually made me, I don't know if I still have it, but he made me write out the pros and cons on a sheet of staying and leaving. And then in the process of that, he actually drew this. He drew this and said, "All right, Andy, you've already decided in your head you want to go to Memphis, right? Have you ever thought about backing up and asking God before you made a decision?" So he was pretty much saying, "I'm here. Why don't you think about coming back here and asking God which I should pursue before I get there?" And my immediate response was, I don't know if I said it, but my immediate response was, "Why does God care why I go to college? I mean, God cares about, you know, if I go to church, but why would He care about where I went to school?" And it really just came down to the fact that I didn't understand that God was a personal God. I thought He was just somebody that was, you know, spun the world and then just watched it go. And so I start praying and start asking God, you know, "God, do you want me to stay? Do you want me to go?" And of course, I don't hear anything. I look up at the ceiling. "God, do you want me to stay or go?" And I don't really hear anything, and I don't really feel any different. So therefore, God didn't speak to me, so I don't know. But at the same time, the two big authorities in my life, my dad and Shannon, were both saying, you know, just wait one more semester. Just get through a little longer. And then if you feel the same way, then make the decision. Just don't make it this fast. So I did, and of course, the next semester, start making friends. It starts feeling like home. And I start, honestly, learning how to pursue God. It wasn't until that next semester that I learned what a quiet time really was. You know, I'd heard that phrase, but it was the next semester was when I first started getting real exposure in that. And in that process, I learned, you know, God is a personal God. Jeremiah 23:23 says, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away?" And I love that because God himself says, "I am a personal God. I'm not this God in the sky that doesn't care. I'm interested in your life and your decisions." And it wasn't that God didn't answer me. It's just I had no clue how to listen. So then God starts teaching me how to listen. So Shannon gets me into quiet times and what this really means to dig in God's Word and to hear from Him. And I start spending regular time in the Word. I start hearing from God. I remember one instance, just being introverted and shy. I remember God specifically telling me, I don't remember why, but specifically telling me that in one of my quiet times that I needed to go mail a letter for something. And it sounds simple, but I remember being excited about that God cared so much about something small. And just it really just helped me get out of my dorm and just start getting out in the world. But so God's continually teaching me that He is trustworthy, that He is He can help me, He can guide me. So this is the start of the second semester then. So this would be 2006. And even though I'm starting to feel more at home at MTSU, I'm still going home every other weekend to see friends. And, of course, I end up meeting a girl in Memphis. And like every wise freshman, I dive into a relationship without thinking about it. And she was at least what I thought. She was a strong believer. She was very open about her convictions. She spent time in the Word. And she was very attractive. And so immediately we start to date. And we start getting close. We start spending a lot of time together, even though we're in different cities. And then it starts to get physical. And so as I'm growing over here in my quiet times and my time with God, then I start to struggle over here. So then I start trying to combat it. So then I put parameters on our relationship. We tried a bunch of things. Like we had at one point said, you know, we weren't going to do physical contact for a week. But we just continued to try to fix it ourselves, pretty much. And so, meeting with Shannon, and the same thing. He sits down, and he asks me the same question, you know. When you dove into this, did you consider God in this choice? Did you even consider that God, that you can ask God this, and he'll tell you which would be the better way to go? So that's kind of on the back of my mind, even though I don't even really want to address it. And I go on the men's retreat, this men's retreat, I guess 4 years ago, and I hear Shannon and Mark talk. I can't remember which, but I heard someone talk about in their testimony when they decided to give up dating. And that concept had never even gone through my head. I mean, since third grade, I remembered that was something I always wanted to pursue, both because of how people saw me and just because of how it made me feel. It was something I wanted deep inside, and I never, even when I heard people talking about it, I never thought anything more than, this is what I want, this is what I really want. But, like a bad song in your head, that just rolled through my brain. So I go home, and it's just continuing, it's just staying in my head. And I end up talking to my girlfriend about it, but then I decide, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't know, I don't think that's a good decision. I'm kind of wavering back and forth, even though I kind of feel led to do that. And after a little time, God puts it on her heart, and she comes to me and she says, "You know, I just can't stop thinking about what it is you told me the other day. I think we need to talk about it." And the more we addressed it, and the more we talked about it, the more I realized, you know, if God really is in control of my life, why couldn't He fix this if this was from Him? You know, why couldn't he give me what's best? So then I make the decision, okay. So I break up with her. And that was March of 2006. And I'd had girlfriends in high school, and I'd actually at one point been cheated on, and I knew what breaking up felt like. I mean, it doesn't feel good. It feels terrible. You kind of lose perspective for a couple days, but this was different. I immediately felt peace, and it really didn't make any sense. I felt not only okay with it, but I felt happy about it. I felt confident in my decision. And it really was like this burden had been lifted off of it. In hindsight, I realized that relationship was really choking my walk with God. As it was growing, and I started to spend time with my girlfriend, and then as we started to get physical, all my focus just went on trying to fix it. And so I was focused on that and not God. And at the time, I had no idea. I thought I was being noble. I thought I was doing things correctly. And God hit me with Jeremiah 17:9 after that. And it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can know it?" And I think that just completely defines what happened to me, that I felt like I was deceived by myself, that I was doing things right. And then when God helped me pull me out of that, I look back and I'm so grateful that I didn't pursue that. Another verse he hit me with was 1 Corinthians 8:2. And that says, "The man who thinks he knows something does not yet know as he ought to know." But the man, yeah, sorry, that's it. And then, so what he hit me with out of that was, it's, you know, you think you have perspective. You think you know what you're doing, but, I mean, doesn't God know who you are? I mean, he made you. He knows your life. He's not bound by time. But we just think, you know, we think when we're in these situations, we know. Just like Kevin, when he signed that thing, it said, you know, I'm not going to, I know, I understand the risks in this thing. Kevin said, nope. I understand what's going on. It's really easy to think you have perspective and you know what's going on. So in that, God's taught me not only that I could trust him, but that I could trust that he would guide me, that he would help me in decisions, and that he knows best, even when I don't even know what's best for me. So just like the first one, burden's lifted, and my growth in God just continues to go up. And it's funny, as I look back, I see that these decisions in themselves help me, but it was almost like the sacrifice itself, the fact that I would give something that I held so dear to me over to God and say, "God, I believe that you can help me, or that you know what's best for me in this." It's almost like the sacrifice of that in itself is how God grew me, is how God then started putting this desire in me for him and his word. So then we'll flash forward a little bit, about a year, and Shannon comes to me and says, "Hey, would you like to work on a video?" And being a videography major, I'm sure. And it so happens to be the Navigator Summer Training Program video. So I start working on that, and we spent a whole day on recording the sound. I mean, we spent a lot of time on this project. I think I probably ended up working about 25 hours on the editing itself. But in the process of that, Shannon says, "You know, you should consider going to that. It'd be really good for you. You'd grow a lot." And I do the kind of, "Yeah, okay, oh, that's nice, Shannon. Oh, that's good." But in the back of my mind, I'm like, "Nah, I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to your silly church camp." Little did I know. But after hours and hours of working on it, I mean, anytime you want to work on a video or wanting to communicate something, you know, you need to get to the heart of it. What are we trying to communicate? And so God kind of worked on me backwards. So as I'm sitting here thinking, okay, what's so good about a training program? What can I communicate to everybody that's going to be so good about this? Well, God kind of worked on me backwards. And then that kind of started going in my brain, well, maybe I should do this. Kind of sold myself on it. Well, maybe this is something that I should consider doing. So after a little bit of time and talking to my dad, and actually my dad and my mom met at a training program. So not that I decided to go because I wanted to find a spouse, but I knew I at least had a little exposure on what they were, or the fact that they were good. They were really good for your growth, that they were really focused on the Word and time with God. So eventually I make the decision, okay, I'm going to go. And as time goes by, there were a couple others that were interested in going, and they all backed out. And in the back of my mind, I knew it. I was like, man, I know I'm going to be the only one doing this. Sure enough, turns out I'm the only one going. So Shannon's not going. There are no leaders going. There's no students. It's just me. So I'm going 6 hours away to a city I've never been to spend 8 weeks or 9 weeks with people I've never met, doing something I've never done before. And, man, I was real nervous. The May, the little summer break right before it started, I started really wanting to back out. I'm thinking, I can't do this. Like, I don't know these people. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm scared to do this. But then I just think, okay, just hang on, just do this. Well, the day came, and I packed up my Jeep and headed to Branson. And I can't explain it. On the way there, I just felt at peace. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't anxious. I wasn't wondering what's going to happen to me. What's this summer going to be like? It was. I was excited about it. I was ready for it. And I really think that Philippians 4:7. I know 6 and 7, so I'll say both. But Philippians 7 kind of illustrates that perfectly. And it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's just a perfect example. Like, it didn't make sense for me to be at peace. It didn't make any sense for me to be okay with this decision. But that peace did come from God. And I just remember the summer was amazing. It was one of the most fun times I've ever had. Likewise, in the other part of my story, my desire for God grew. My time in the Word grew. And it was just like God just kind of kept hitting me exponentially for a desire for Him and for His Word. And in that, God taught me that I can trust Him with maturing me and then showing me what is important. As I look back now, I'm really glad I did that, because it seems like the four or five summers you have around your college time are really unique summers. I mean, before, you're too young to really do anything, and after, you have too many responsibilities to do anything. So I'm really glad I got a chance to end up doing that, because I really there's not too many times in my life when I think I would have a chance to do that. So I come back from that, and I'm starting to really get into Scripture memory. God's starting to really take hold of my heart. And I see about 2 years after that, I was a web design minor, and I can't tell you how much I loathe web design. I'm not good at it. It takes me forever. But I ended up giving it a shot. Well, one day I was working on a website, and honestly, almost every single one I did on this one class, I ended up pulling an all-nighter for, just because I could not get all the work done. But this was one of those sites, and I was feeling bogged down because I knew how much work I had to do, and I decided, all right, I'm going to take a break. So I decided to go get some food. I thought, man, some pizza would be fantastic right now, you know, some little Caesars or something. So I head over there, and I think, oh, I'll get some beer, too. That'd be really good. So I'm headed to Walmart to get some beer, and my conscience starts tugging at me. And I'm kind of like battling it back, like, you know, leave me alone. Like, I'm not planning on getting drunk. Scripture's clear about that. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So I'm sitting there battling that, thinking, like, leave me alone. Like, I'm not doing anything bad here. And as I'm walking in Walmart, kind of like battling myself, God just slams me with a verse. And I remember just stopping in the middle of Walmart, just staring at the ceiling, and immediately Acts 24:16 came to mind. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. And God just, He just pricked me with that and said, is a beer even worth your conscience? Is it even worth doing something that you're not quite sure about? And so I turned around and left, and I remember being so excited that God would speak to me with something I knew, something I learned, something that I had memorized. But it was different. It was like God just pulled it out and used it right in the moment. And so I started in that learning that God can teach me to trust Him with what is right and how I should live, and even how I should live, like in a moment when I'm making decisions, that smaller decisions within a day. So time goes on, and it's the same thing. My desire is growing for Him. My desire for His Word is growing. It starts to become much less, oh no, I have to wake up and do my quiet time, to, ooh, I get to explore the Bible. I have this whole thing that I can look through and learn. And this mysterious big God that I can learn about that's personal and wants to spend time with me. So the next step was about a year ago now, about a year ago this time. And Shannon came up to me and proposed going back to the training program. Now, I'd already done two. And the typical NAB thing is you do one, you do two, and you do a missions trip. Typically, you just don't do three. That's just how it is. But Shannon says to me, you know, have you thought about going back? And I was like, well, no. I mean, I've already done two. Is that enough? But as we started talking about it, and I started thinking about it, you know, I've grown so much over these last couple summers, working at Celebration City and in Dollywood. So it wasn't hard for me to swing back and be like, okay, I do want to do this. But at the same time, I was a senior, and I was supposed to be graduating either, in May or in August. And I get a call from my dad, and he says, since you're going to be the first to graduate, you need to be graduated and on your own by August so that I can afford to pay for your brother and your sister and help them out through school. And so what that meant for me was I still needed an internship for my major. So, I mean, obvious answer, internship, training program, well, I can't. I got my dad, I got real-life things to worry about. Like, I can't do one. Plus, I've done two. I mean, it's just a bonus, right? But it came to mind all these other times, all these other instances where I'd come to God and asked Him, and He'd help me in situations. So I thought, okay, maybe I'll do this from the start for once. So I go to God and say, okay, God, even though this doesn't even appear as an option, what do you want me to do? Would you like me to do that? Before I even figure out if it's possible, would you like me to do it? So I start praying that. And I don't hear anything. So it's almost like the same thing as that first choice. I'm asking God, I'm not hearing anything. Now the difference is I am pursuing God. I am spending time in His Word. I am listening to Him. But I don't hear anything from Him. So it goes February, it goes into March, it goes into April. And really with a training program or even with an internship, you need to, the further you know in advance, the better. So as it's starting to get down to the wire, I start kind of freaking out. I'm like, all right, God, I'm asking You, I'm pursuing You. Why won't You answer me? I mean, You've answered me before. You tell me that you'll guide me. And yet, and I'm pursuing You in something where I think is going to grow my relationship with You. Why are You not talking back to me now? And as time went on, he didn't speak to me. And I remember getting to a point where I got really frustrated and just thought, all right, God, I'm just going to be honest with You. This doesn't make any sense. Why are You not talking to me? One day I was reading through Acts, and I ended up reading all the way through Acts 10. And the story of Acts 10 is an angel comes to a centurion and tells him to send his two or three servants to go get Peter. He's like, don't worry about it, I'll tell you why later. At the same time, Peter has a vision of a big blanket with a bunch of animals in it. And God says, go kill and eat. And Peter wakes up and he's thinking about his dream and he's thinking that's kind of strange. And while he's thinking about the dream and pondering on it, the Spirit talks to him and says, two guys are about to come. They're in the city. Go find them and go with them. So Peter goes and finds the guys and goes back to where the centurion is from. And I don't know if it's the very first time, but it's one of the first times that God reaches out to the Gentiles. So Peter goes back and preaches the word. And a lot of Gentiles come to the faith. And so this hit me. I thought, okay, God spoke pretty clearly in this situation. So He spoke through the centurion. He spoke through the Spirit. And then He spoke through Peter's dream. So I thought, okay, how do I translate that? What is that like in my life? So I thought about the centurion. Okay, maybe he's this outside source. He's somebody outside of the situation. So I was like, well, what's that in my life? And I was like, well, Shannon. I thought of Shannon because he wants the best for me, and I know he looks out for me. What does Shannon think? Shannon thinks I should go. Okay, there's one. So then I thought, two, what about the Spirit? What am I feeling like the Spirit's leading me? And I thought, you know, my choices are an internship, which I'd had a job that was like an internship and did the opposite. It was a terrible summer. And then, or I have this training program where the focus of it is my growth in God, is my pursuit of God. So I was like, well, that's kind of obvious. So I felt, okay, I got two out of three. So then I thought about the third one, Peter's vision. I thought, okay, well, how does that relate? And Hebrews 1:1 came to mind. It's the fact that God talks to us in different ways. So then I thought, well, how does God talk to me? And I, okay, well, very clearly he talks to me through his word. So then I said, all right, God, you've given me two out of three. Give me a verse. So that morning, I was reading through Proverbs, and I read Proverbs 11:28. And it said, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. And like that Timothy verse, it was like, I just thought that was black and white. I was like, oh, okay, there you go. Internship, riches, righteous, there you go. So, now nothing in my situation had changed. I still had to graduate. I still had to get out and finish. But I had clarity from God that that's what he wanted me to do. And it just so happened, it wasn't planned this way, it just so happened I was meeting with my advisor that day. So 2 or 3 hours after my quiet time, I go in there, and I sit down with him. And I'm just honest with him. I'm like, you know what? I really don't want to do an internship this summer. I want to do something else. That's all I said. And he said, okay, we'll find something else for you to do. And it was just, it's funny when you think, you know, I've got to follow the system of the world. Like, I have to have an internship so I can get a job later, so I can do this, so I can do this. But when you seek God, it's different. When you seek God, I mean, what can God not do? What was it for that to change in me? All my advisor had to do was sign a couple sheets, and then I didn't have to do it anymore. Now, that's not a normal thing. It's not an easy thing. I know in college campuses, usually when you have some kind of change in an upper grad form, it's a big deal. It has to go up through the chambers. And everything went through. So God took care of me. And I was so excited. I went back home and immediately called up my brother, who had gone to the last training program with me, and was just telling him the whole story. And he was, and then I asked him, you know, like, well, have you thought about going? And he's like, well, I've got to do school if I want to graduate on time. And then I've got money. And he kind of hit me with the usuals. And I just shared with him my story again. I was like, man, like, take God at his word. Like, seek him before the fact and believe that he can do something even if it doesn't look like it. So I ended up talking to him and then his roommate, which is one of my old friends, Seth Sieferman, some of you guys know. And in the end, both of them ended up sitting down and asking the question, you know, God, what do you want me to do? And both of them ended up going and having a great summer. And I guess I say that because it's exciting. You know, if God had told me from the beginning, yeah, go ahead and go. Here's your path cleared. Then I wouldn't have had to trust God in that whole time, which stretched me, which made me grow closer to Him. I wouldn't have seen God answer specific prayer. I wouldn't have been able to tell my brother and have that much joy and then see God use me in someone else's life. It's almost like, you know, God not only benefited me in the situation, but he benefited me in kind of all the categories of my life. And God taught me that he can lead me even when something doesn't seem like an option, when I don't even think that's a possibility. And up to this point in my life, well, actually, real quick, at the end of that summer, me and one of the guys on my team did a little pseudo bungee jumping thing. And it wasn't real high. It was like 6 or 7 stories. But we get to the bottom, and we're looking up. We're like, yeah, we're going to jump off this. It's going to be amazing. And, you know, of course, you get to the top, and then you're looking down, and it looks a lot higher from the top. And we're standing up there, and you can jump off a couple different ways. You know, you can just do the normal jump. You can go head first. You can go backwards, whatever. And I thought, okay, well, I have to go first. I'm the team leader. I'm the older guy here, so I've got to go first. So I walk up to the guy that hooks you in when you're about to jump, and he says, how do you want to jump? And I kind of take a breath, and I'm like, what's the most fun way to jump? And he's like, a back dive. And I'm like, oh, okay. So he hooks me up, and you know, once you're hooked up a certain way, you have to do it. But so I get there, and I'm standing on, you know, the edge of like kind of like a diving board with six stories below me, and I'm just like, man, what am I doing? And I just close my eyes and fall back, and it was, I'm a big junkie on this kind of stuff. It was so much fun. After that, I was hooked, and God kind of used that as like a big metaphor for my summer. That the more risk I took, the more I benefited. I mean, that makes sense from a business world, but that's what it felt like this summer, that I'd taken a bigger risk in my walk with God, and I reaped more from it. I got to see God at work more in my life. So in this, I've learned that I have options. When I'm making decisions, I mean, I have options. God will always give me a choice. I can choose to not seek Him at all in a decision. You know, for me, that was the college campus thing. That was the girlfriend. Or sorry, that was pretty much all my decisions before that. Choose to not seek Him at all. I can choose to seek Him after I've already made a decision. That was the girlfriend and the campus. Or I can come to Him initially before I make a decision at all and ask Him, what do you want me to do? And part of that, even that diagram there, that God's taught me in my life is what it means to have a neutral heart. And I know that in any decision, especially when you're presenting it to God, there's almost always going to be, you're going to want to do one over the other. So having a neutral heart is not necessarily wanting to do one more than the other. It's being willing to say, God, I'll do either of these scenarios. What is it you want me to do? And being okay with doing one over the other. Recently, God's hit me with Psalm 119:1, and it said, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. When I first read this, I used to interpret this verse, you know, those who seek God get a pat on the back. You know, like AJ was saying the other day, like, you have my blessing. But I looked it up because I wasn't convinced that's really what it meant. So I looked it up in the concordance, and it said that the word blessed in this verse means this. It means happy, a heightened state of happiness and joy, implying very favorable circumstances, often resulting from the kind acts of God. And I feel like this is exactly what I've been seeing in my life as I've seen God's word at work in me, as I've seen God in each step being trustworthy and knowing I can trust Him with the next step. Every time I come to Him and the bigger risk I take, the more blessing I see. And I know, like what David was talking about, a lot of times the blessing is not necessarily what you might think. It may not be riches or whatever you think initially. But nonetheless, God blesses His children. Okay, so from there, during the summer, I get an email from my advisor, and he says, guess what? You know that class you thought you opted out of your sophomore year? You didn't. You need to take it. So now all of a sudden it's like, God, I thought you paved my way and I thought you were doing all these things. But now I've got to go back to school. And so in the end, God didn't answer any of that. So I'm dealing with that. I'm really confused. And then the biggest thing comes up, just where am I going to live? I mean, what am I going to do? I don't have a job. I've got to be on my own in August. So I start looking at online classes, and there's nothing there, and I don't want to deal with trying to transfer a class and not graduate another semester. And in that process, Shannon mentions it to me, you know, hey, Todd and Kevin both lived with the Stevens for a number of years. Maybe you could. And same thing, I thought. You know, that's kind of nice. That could be a possibility. But in the back of my head, being like, no, I really don't want to live with a family. That would be very humbling. So I'm going through that, and when I get that email from my advisor, that becomes pretty pretty clear that's my only real option. If I want to stay in Murfreesboro, my only real option is to live with them. So then I'm thinking, okay, well, how do I ask them? How do you approach somebody and say, can I live in your house until I have a job? So, you know, I remember asking John Mark, like, can you ask for me? Or like, like, how do I even go about doing this? And as I'm trying to kind of get courage to do that or figure out how to do that, Mark and Carol come and visit. And Carol comes up to me and just starts talking to me and starts asking me, what's up? And I give her, you know, just the real brief, not graduating, doing this. And then she just kind of sat there and kept listening. So I kind of gave her the full spiel. And she's like, oh, you could probably just live with us. Let me just ask Mark. I was like, well, there you go. So come last August, I've been living at the Stevens house. And it's actually been really good. But, you know, even in that situation, I feel like God's blessed me. I have a great place to live. Where I get to see a godly family, not to mention Miss Carol. There's nothing she cooks that I do not like. And I see God working in my life, and I'm seeing answered prayer. At the same time, during all that, while I'm at the training program, I'm working at Splash Country, the water park. They lay us off. So there's six of us that lose our jobs. And I already didn't fundraise enough, so it's kind of like the first time in my life I have to trust God with my needs. Up to this point, it had been, you know, decisions and what am I going to do, but in this instance, it was the first time I ever really had to trust God with, okay, how am I going to make this meet? I owe the program $600, I have $200 in my account, and I have no job. And honestly, I was kind of excited about it. I was like, well, This is something new that I get to try. I've never had to do this before. So I start praying, you know, God, will you provide for my needs? And I mean, it wasn't a day later. Jeremy Free, a guy from Clemson, comes up to me, not knowing I was thinking or praying this, and just being like, hey, I know you guys got laid off. If you want my job, you can have it. And I was like, man, I've worked at 3 theme parks now. I really don't want to work at Dollywood. But if God wants me to do it, I'll do it. So I was kind of waiting for him to come back to me and tell me, you know, do you want to take it? And before that happens, Daniel comes up to me one day, who worked at the lodge that we stayed at, doing kind of maintenance work, and says, hey, man, I got enough money and I'm tired of working. Do you want my job? And I'm like, sure, why not? So I weed-eated for 6 hours a day, and I actually kind of enjoyed it. So as I'm doing that, I'm about to finish off paying for the program. The director comes to me and says, hey, somebody picked up your tab. You don't owe anything. And it was cool to see, as I asked God to help me with my needs, it was cool to see him not only answer my prayer, but answer it in 3 ways. You know, he gave me an option, he gave me a second option, and then he took care of me there. So I'm excited, I'm joyful, and I have a little bit, I think I had $200 in my name going back home, and then it didn't stop there. I get back home, and out of the blue, I get a call from a production manager in Memphis asking if I'd like to be a production assistant on a couple commercials in Murfreesboro. And now, I've not done any professional work. I didn't apply for anything. My friend just dropped my name in somebody's hat, and I got a call. And so I pretty much, between that and another job that God got me, I pretty much made back in August what I didn't make during the summer. And not only did I make it back, but I was doing work that I would have done for free. I mean, I don't know, I really enjoy being on a set. I really enjoy the process of creating things. And it was the same thing. It was just seeing God saying, like, okay, now you trust me, I'm going to bless you. But then he just kind of kept going. He kept just adding it up. And then another thing that I ended up being able to do was mow lawns with John Mark. And strangely, that actually was really encouraging. We started to get to know each other and spend a lot of time together and kind of just helping each other grow and hold each other accountable. So I saw my needs met. I got 2 jobs that I would have done for free. I'm mowing, which means I get to spend time with John Mark. And the same thing, I get to see God at work in my life, and I get to see answered prayer. So then that comes to last August. And I realized, especially looking back now, that God really set me up for success. What do I mean by that? Well, I had one class that was like a sophomore level class, which meant like little to no homework. I had no job, I had no bills, no responsibilities, because I was living at the Stevens and I was being taken care of. But up to this point, I've been praying, you know, God, will you give me a guy? Is there somebody I can invest in? And God just set me up in the perfect situation. I mean, I was living in a house with Mark Stevens, who, you know, I've always seen as like the man-to-man pro, like the guy you look to. I mean, it's what he does. I believe Nick back there at the audio table gives Shannon a call and says something to the effect of, I'd like to be mentored. And Shannon says, okay, let's meet. And then, is it okay if Andy comes along? So then the three of us start meeting. And Nick just starts pouring out his heart and the fact that he wants to grow and he wants to seek God. And God starts using me in Nick's life. And Nick's been a real blessing to me. Our friendship has really grown. And it's been really cool seeing him take hold of God's word and seeing God take hold of him. At the same time, we're doing move-ins again, so we're getting guys into the dorm and trying to meet freshmen. And then another thing that we do is we set up that volleyball net in our grove on Fridays because it's a suitcase campus, because everybody goes home, with the hopes of meeting people. And we've been doing this for, I guess, since the year before. And I don't know why, but it was such a struggle for me. I remember I'd go to Shannon's before we'd head over, and I'd just be like, Shannon, nobody's going to come to this. I really don't want to do this. I don't want to go over there. But I guess in obedience to Shannon, we went over there and we set up. And we did that for a year. And then we started again the second year. And one day this guy just shows up. And his name is Mike Lynch. And he was the guy I was telling you about earlier that went on the fall conference. And a funny side story, he was playing his Xbox and it broke. So while he's playing, he gets the red ring of death. And he decides to get on his internet just to kill time, and the internet's down. And he gets frustrated and decides to go outside, and he happens to see us and thinks, I'm going to go blow off some steam. And now he is one of the guys that is in our Bible studies and is wanting to grow and is hungry for God's word. And at the same time, when we moved in, one of the guys we moved in, his name was Destin. And I hit it off with Destin pretty early. We started playing racquetball, and we talked about it, and we thought it would be a good idea to try to start a John study in that dorm, in Destin's dorm. And so we go play racquetball a few times, and I'm scared about this whole thing. You know, even this concept of meeting with guys, like, I'm just me. Like, how can I do this? How can I impart wisdom to somebody or lead somebody in this? I had little confidence in myself at all. And we end up playing one day, and I'm feeling like I need to just ask him. And I wait till, like, the very last second, and we're starting to leave, and I turn back around and say, you know, hey, Destin, what'd you think about doing a Bible study in your dorm? He's like, man, we've been looking for something. We were just going to do one on our own. So from that, he and his roommate Chris came to that, and then Mike came to that. And from that, now I'm meeting with each one of them, and it's been really amazing seeing God at work in their lives, and God being able to use a guy like me, just an ordinary guy. So then that brings me to the last, probably 6 weeks, or last couple weeks. So I graduated from MTSU in December, and, you know, when you graduate, what do? You pray for a job, so I start praying for a job. And same thing, except I decide, I really want to seek God beforehand on this, just like I did in the last one. So I start praying, you know, God, will you provide something? Will you provide something that will let me continue with the navigators, continue to learn what this whole discipleship thing is, and something that's not going to just consume my time. I honestly didn't mind if it was just a hardware store or something. I just needed some kind of income. And as time goes by, I realize I'm asking God, hey, God, can I have a job? And I'm not doing anything about it. So I get a call from one of my buddies that's in the film industry. And he says, hey, this woman offered me a position teaching in Franklin, teaching video editing. And I turned it down, but I told her your name. So I thought, great. So I hurried and got my resume, my reel ready. And I went to the interview, and honestly, I wasn't prepared for it at all. It was the first interview I'd had in 4 years, and really, it was the first real interview I've ever really had. And I get there, and I just fumble through it. And one of the questions she asked me is, so what makes you want to teach? And up to that point, I had not even thought about that. In fact, I wasn't even sure what the job was. I just knew that it had something to do with video editing. And so that immediately started putting doubt in my mind, like, I don't even know if I want to do this. I don't even know if this is something I'm interested in. But even though the whole interview was what I thought was a train wreck, at the end she pretty much says, I'll give you an audition where you'll teach for an hour in 3 weeks, and if you do well in that, you've got the job. So I'm excited, I come home, and then as I kind of settle down, I start to think, I don't know if I can do this. I have more of a perfectionist mindset, and so I tend to think if I can't do something like perfectly, or if I can't do something the way I think is the right way to do it, then I don't want to try. And so in that, I'm thinking, okay, I know I don't have any experience teaching. I don't have any experience leading a classroom or helping people learn other than meeting with guys. But in my man-to-mans with Shannon, he kind of helps me calm me down and just says, you know, it's just an interview. It's just this. Quit being afraid. And then God hits me with some big verses. Hits me with Joshua 18, 2 and 3. And this says, but there were still 7 Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. So Joshua said to the Israelites, how long will you wait before you begin to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? And that was just like, that was right in my face. I was like, Andy, you've been asking for a job. You've been asking me for something to do, and I'm giving it to you. Just take it. Just go and try and take it. But I was still kind of like, I don't know. I'm still really nervous about it. So then he hits me with Daniel 3, 17 and 18. And this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's response to Nebuchadnezzar right before they're thrown into the furnace. And they say, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And that, too, hit me like a ton of bricks. The fact that they would be willing to trust God to say, you know what, like, go ahead and throw us in. God can save us. But even if he doesn't, that's okay. We're not gonna serve your gods. And that was just, even that concept was just, that was huge to me. And that sparked a thought that God, a verse that God had put in my life years ago, which was 1 Chronicles 19:13, which says, be strong and let us fight courageously for our people and for the cities of our God. The Lord will do what is good in his sight. And it's a similar story. Joab is surrounded, and he's about to be attacked, and he makes this plan, but he pretty much says, you know what, we're going to do our part, and we're just going to let God do whatever he thinks is good. So God just kind of hit me with both of those. He just kind of, during the process, he just kind of kept hitting me with verses, just saying, Andy, just hold in there, just trust me. And at the same time, God's working on me internally. So he hits me with Deuteronomy 30, verse 9 and 10. And that says, the Lord will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers. And just like I used to think God was this huge God in the sky that just turned the world and watched it go, I did not believe that God wanted to give me good things. I kind of pictured him as this Santa Claus in the sky that had all this stuff, and you know, if you didn't mess up too bad, he'd he'd kind of throw you some stuff. But the fact that it says that God delights in prospering you. Now, it doesn't mean God, that doesn't mean God was gonna bless me and give me things when he needed to work on me. He cares much more about who I am and my relationship with him than the things he gives me or how he blesses me. But just the fact that God delights in that, that was a new concept for me. That was something that I did not know God even thought. So I go to the audition, and just like in the past, I'm feeling peace about it. I'm nervous, but I'm feeling peace about it. And I get there, and I go through it, and the woman is so impressed. She tells me, we want to hire you, and usually we hire $15 an hour. We want to go ahead and say $20 because we want you to take it. So right from the start, God just says, there you go. And that really solidified the Joshua verse that God says, just take it. Look, you've been asking for this, just go take it. So I get to experience God's faithfulness to me once again. This really is the perfect job. It's part-time, so I get to stay involved with the navigators and with my guys, and I get to keep doing freelance work on the side. Teaching there, I only taught 2 weeks there, but teaching there has helped me with my time with my guys, and time with my guys has helped me with teaching at Nashville Film Institute. At the same time, I'm seeing maturity in myself. I'm seeing God grow me up. I'm seeing confidence in God where I can say I trust him and I can say I turn to him with my life. And even in myself to say, like, you know, if I'm seeking God, if my life is for God, what can I not do? What will hold me back? And then the biggest thing is just, once again, is just seeing God at work in my life. It brings me no more joy than to see and know that God is at work inside me and constantly making me more like Christ. So I end there, and I hope that this hits you. I hope that you can see not only that you can trust God with your decisions, but that's a process. It's something that has to be grown. I know typically you don't just naturally trust him. You have to learn it. And with that, you know, it's almost like every time God proves himself faithful to you, the next time you come back and have to make a decision, you remember that God was faithful to you last time, so why wouldn't he be faithful to you now? And that's all I got.
Let me say one thing, AJ. Make one observation real quick. I know we're going to be going to dinner. But often in our decisions, oh, here it is. So like this, where God asks us to do something, we seek him on his will, and then he's going to usually ask us to step out in faith and believe him. So we take a step, and he comes through, and he's faithful. And then he says, how about this? Let me ask you to do something else. Just like you heard from Andy. Then he asked him to go back maybe to a summer training program. And then he knew him more. And so all these times, God is asking us to take a step of faith, take a risk, and to believe him and trust him. But then how do you do that? So you've heard from Kevin and others where God was wanting to grow their faith. You heard that being said. And we just go deeper with God the more that we trust him. And as we then go to him, to his word, to find decisions, because we don't just make decisions just willy-nilly, just, well, whatever feels good, or go with your gut, or go with this or that. We need to always, we want to consult his word. And the one thing I want to point out that that Andy didn't touch upon was that one of the big motivating factors in him wanting to stay around was the fact that he wanted to be used by God in the life of another. So then God even honored that. So he was kind of putting that first above all things and wanting to have real treasure like David spoke of, you know. And then even as I look at my own life, I say, well, you know what? There were a lot of things that I had to give up. But I have treasure like these guys. I mean, and price, you can't put price on that, you know. I know some of you experience that. Some of you know that. But some of you, I mean, as you go forward, just know that that is so much treasure. For him to come up here and share that, to see the growth in him and where he came from as a freshman and all that, that's treasure, unspeakable, worth more than anything. So as you look across your life, ask God that he would give you that guy. Ask God that he would use you. Seek him first in his kingdom and his righteousness, and let him provide all these things. You seek after him. The big thing that I really hit all my guys with is this. I ask them, think about what you're going to be about, not what you're going to do. Chances are we're going to do a lot of different things in life. We're going to go back and forth. Your careers will change, your vocations, where you live, it will even change. But be about one thing. Be about Christ and his kingdom. Always Christ, always his kingdom, always first. Be about that. And let all the other things, let him guide you in all those other things. He'll do it. He'll do it. I mean, look, as Andy and John Mark and Philip were praying for him the same way, and I know there's been others in this room that have done that very thing. I am going to be about this. This is what I'm going to be about. And then he just provides everything else beyond that. It's wild. Because he promises it. And he's faithful. And I've never known him to let me down, and I don't think he's ever let you down, and I don't think that he ever will. So we can trust him. So I just wanted to top it off with that. So, the end.